from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel broadcast. I'm delighted that you're joining with us, and I trust that you'll continue listening and hear the Lord's message for your heart today. Our preacher is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's letting the Bible speak on the solemn theme of drifting to destruction from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. And here he is.
Hell is full of people who didn't actively oppose Jesus Christ, but who simply drifted into damnation by neglecting the gospel. That's a staggering statement and a stunning truth. Good morning, I'm Ian Brown, and today we're going to spend some time considering the rather solemn subject, drifting to destruction. I think the piece of music we're about to hear will help us focus our minds. It's the famous gospel invitation hymn, Almost Persuaded. You've probably met people who have said, I believe, but I'm not ready to commit myself to Christ yet. I don't feel this is the time. They go to church and hear the Word of God, they know it's true, but they're not willing to be saved yet. They're like the man who believes a boat can hold him, but who never quite gets in. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 certainly has relevance to them. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In those words, Paul delivers a passionate warning to all of those who were intellectually convinced about the truth of the gospel, who were aware of the good news of salvation that was provided in Jesus Christ, but who had never got round to yielding their lives to Him. They were hanging on the edge of a decision without making it, and therefore running the great risk of drifting past the call of God down to eternal disaster. So Paul wants to give them a great big shove towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. First of all, today we'll think of the picture of drifting that we have here in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip can be translated many ways. It can be used of something that's flowing or slipping past. It can be used of a ring slipping off a finger. But it's most often used of something that has carelessly or thoughtlessly been allowed to slip away. Like a ship that's been carelessly allowed to drift past the harbour because the sailor forgot to attend to the steering or chart the wind, the tides and the current. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 could be translated this way. Therefore, we must diligently anchor our lives to the things that we've been taught, in case the ship of life drifts past the harbour of salvation and we are lost forever. Life is a river, a quick-flowing, powerful Gulf Stream, in fact. And its course is downwards and away from God. There are certain currents of opinion, currents of habit, and currents of action that insensibly carry men far away from the gospel, from Christ and his salvation. That's the danger that you and I face. Most men don't dive headlong into hell. There's more of a tendency to drift into it. Most people don't deliberately turn their backs on God. They almost, without being aware of it, slip past the harbour of salvation and are broken on the rocks of destruction. One writer, building on Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, said, "There's a tide in the affairs of men. Taken at its ebb leads to victory. Neglected, the shores and strands of time are strewn with the wreckage." Many people in Paul's day had heard the word of God, but they hadn't heeded it. We know they'd heard the voice of God because Hebrews 1, the verses 1 and 2 tell us, "God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." So they'd heard the voice of God. God had spoken to them. He had spoken in the Old Testament through the prophets. They had heard it again in the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. They'd heard about it from the mouths of apostolic missionaries, but they'd done nothing about it. The ultimate tragedy is for those people who continually hear the gospel to keep slipping carelessly, almost imperceptibly, down to destruction. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The picture of drifting. Then what about the particulars about drifting? What's the direction of this drift today? Well, there's a drift on today from true religion back to tradition and ritual. That was the drift the writer of this epistle to the Hebrews was so afraid of. Those Hebrews were in danger of drifting back from the simplicity of the gospel into the ritual of Judaism. Of course, ritual is easier than religion. To observe the rites and the ceremonies of the church is a much easier thing than to give Christ the love of our hearts and the allegiance of our lives. But ritual isn't real religion. And the observance of all of the rites and the ceremonies that any church can prescribe will not save a soul. Only faith in Christ and utter love to Christ can do that. Then there's another drift that's even more dangerous today, and that's a drift from true religion altogether. J.D. Jones, an English preacher in the first half of the 20th century, recalled that when a religious census was taken in his old city of Lincoln, there weren't half a dozen papers returned in which people said that we are atheists. All of them professed to belong to some church or another. But, Jones insisted, "I knew there were hundreds and thousands of people in the city who, for all the respect they paid to God or account they took of him, might just as well have been atheists. Practically, they were living without God and without hope in the world. They hadn't formally repudiated God, but they had drifted clean away from him." That's what I'm afraid of today. I'm not afraid the people will, with a sort of swagger, sign themselves atheist, as Shelley did in the visitor's book of an Italian hotel. But you can miss salvation without repudiating God and without formally denying him. All you need to do to go to hell is do nothing. William Edward Parry and his crew were exploring the Arctic Ocean. At one point they tried to move further north, so they charted their location by the stars and began a difficult and treacherous march north. They walked hour upon hour and finally, totally exhausted, they stopped. They took their bearings and discovered that they were farther south than they were when they started. They realized then that they'd been walking on an ice floe that was traveling south faster than they were walking north. I wonder how many people think their good deeds and their merits and their observance of religion is taking them to God, when in fact they're on an ice floe that's taking them away from God. They'll wake one day to find that they're in the middle of a disaster zone called eternal damnation. Don't be satisfied with religious feelings. Don't be satisfied with going to church. Don't be satisfied with church activity. Don't be satisfied with living for success and maybe donating part of that success to charity and to good causes. You're drifting into perdition if you've not accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Saviour. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We have thought of the picture of drifting, the particulars about drifting. But then finally, think of the persuasion against drifting. By the time Paul had written the first 14 verses in his book of Hebrews, that's all of chapter 1, his soul was fired up. He didn't merely care for churning out doctrine, he wanted a response. He was concerned that his hearers responded to Christ. And so he packs all the persuasion he can into our text. Therefore, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. His message is that we should resist the drift, and he tells us both why and how. The drift should be resisted, because there's nothing else worth drifting to. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That therefore refers us back to Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, the verses 1 to 14, we learn that Christ is God's Son. He is the heir of all things. He's the one who made the world, the brightness of the glory of God, the exact image of the person of God, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, the one who purged our sins, the one who's seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, the one who's better than the angels, who is the chief of all. He is forever and ever anointed above everyone else, the Lord of creation. Christ's person and work, who he is and what he has done, makes rejection the most foolish act that a man could ever commit. There's nothing else worth drifting to. That's why this drift should be resisted. Also, anything else we may drift to brings judgment. Hebrews chapter 2, the verses 2 and 3, speaks of the certainty of judgment for those who neglect God's salvation. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The drift should be resisted, because there's nothing else worth drifting to, because anything else we do drift to brings judgment. But how do we resist this drift? Well, Paul tells us again, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Instead of drifting past the harbour of salvation and being lost forever, we should moor the ship. We should make our way against the tide to Jesus Christ and anchor in him. It's my prayer that you'll do exactly that today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's programme. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.